Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. One of the important lessons of life that we learn fairly quickly is that it is advantageous to know certain people and to be known by them. When discussing the process of applying for a job, we have often heard that it's not what you know, but who you know that counts. The one who is known by the employer has an advantage over other applicants by virtue of being known, all other qualifications being equal. One of the benefits of living in a small town such as ours, of course, is the fact that we are known by one another. The teller at the bank, the checker at the grocery store, the server at the restaurant know us by name, and the transaction is more than just business. It's business with a friend, and that generally makes the transaction go smoother. Being known is also important from a biblical perspective. On the night of Jesus' betrayal, he was taken before the high priest. In John chapter 18, verses 15 and 16, the scripture says to us, Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. In this case, being known allowed John to come with Jesus before the high priest, even though he was known to be a disciple of Jesus. The high priest overlooked this because he knew John. This knowledge also allowed John to gain entrance to the court for Peter, who was not known to the high priest and was thus excluded from the proceedings. As important as being known was in this circumstance, there is another far more important need to be known, and it is this that we will consider today. The starting point for our study is to understand the place of knowledge in Scripture. The prophet Hosea conveyed the words of the Lord to the people of Israel in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, where God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now God made this statement because the people had rejected his law and had therefore fallen into sin. In this case, their lack of knowledge regarding God's law brought about the many punishments they suffered at the hands of their enemies. God forsook them because they had forsaken his law. And certainly this declaration by God makes it clear that his people must have knowledge of his word. When the prophet Jeremiah recorded God's word about the coming kingdom, we see that knowledge was to be a vital part of that kingdom. In Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34, the Lord said, "But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Now, under the Old Covenant, people were made a party of the covenant simply by being born a Jew. Then they had to be taught to know God. In the New Covenant, however, the covenant of Christ, only those who have been baptized into Christ are parties to his covenant, and these are taught to know God before they are baptized into Christ. Knowledge, then, is essential. But God requires a particular kind of knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, Paul spoke of the limitations of one kind of knowledge while defining the appropriate knowledge for Christians to possess. In this passage he said, "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him." What we learn in this case is that knowledge, for the sake of knowledge, is unprofitable. It only creates arrogance. And we have all known those who make a point of demonstrating their superiority over others by virtue of their personal knowledge. Paul said that such knowledge, with its accompanying bad attitude, is not the sort that should characterize Christians. The one who thinks he knows it all has not yet begun to know as he ought to know, and it is here that we see the place of knowledge as God would have it. Look again at verse 3. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. The knowledge that we all must desire is to be known by God. This is the only knowledge that will matter at judgment, when the Lord will separate the knowns from the unknowns. This is knowledge that is held by God, but it is knowledge that will be based upon the kind of knowledge that we pursue here in life. When God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, he said that those in the new covenant would know him. It is our knowledge of God that is the means by which we enter the new covenant. In Paul's letter to the Galatian churches, he addressed their apparent attempts to return to the old covenant by means of the rite of circumcision. As he discussed the folly of doing so, Paul reminded them of their condition before they became Christians, before they had entered the new covenant. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he said, "However, at that time, that is, before they were Christians, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again?" Now in the context, Paul had reminded the Galatians that Christ had come in the fullness of time in order to redeem those who were under the law, that is, under the old covenant. In verse 8, Paul said that when they were under the old covenant, they did not know God. All of this changed, however, at some point, for Paul said that they had come to know God. When did this circumstance change? Well, it changed when they were baptized into Christ. Notice what Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. He said, "But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." When the Galatians believed the gospel and were baptized into Christ, they came to know God. This is the argument that Paul is making in the passages we have read. Before they obeyed the gospel, they were held under a tutor. They were enslaved by the law, and they were unknown to God. It is not coincidental, then, that Paul spoke of their obedience as coming to know God and then rephrased it as being known by God. Look again at Galatians 4 and verse 9. Paul says, "But now that you have come to know God, or rather, to be known by God." This connects directly to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, where Paul said that the one who loves God is known by him. What we see here is that love and obedience are the same thing. Being baptized into Christ is obedience to his commands, and it is a demonstration of one's love for him. Paul's divinely inspired conclusion, then, is that when we demonstrate our love for the Lord by obeying his command to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we are then known by God. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus told his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." The reverse of this statement is, "If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me." And both of these statements are equally true. But this was not the only time that Jesus spoke of these things. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, he said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Now these are only two statements by the Lord, but they demonstrate that he himself made the connection between love and obedience. Therefore, It should not surprise us to hear this same connection being made by his apostles. This certainly was evident in the teachings of John the Apostle. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, John said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Then in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, John said, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Friends, it can't be clearer than this. God defines love as obedience to His commands. But what does this have to do with knowing God and being known by Him? Well, notice the number of times in just these few passages that love, obedience, and knowing God are connected. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 3, Paul said, "But if anyone loves God, he is known by Him." In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9, the Galatians came to know God, or to be known by Him, because they had been baptized into Christ in accordance with the gospel preached by Paul. John said that the one who does not love does not know God, 1 John 4 and verse 8. In each and every case, it is clear that knowing God and being known by Him are directly connected to one's obedience to His commands. In each and every case, we correctly and easily understand that disobedience will result in one not being known by God. The question that comes to mind at this point is, why is it important to be known by God? The reason very simply is because of judgment. Jesus taught very plainly that at the time of His return, He will make a separation between all who have ever lived on the earth. In Matthew 25, verses 31 to 33, Jesus said, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on His left." Then in verse 46, as Jesus concluded these remarks, He said, "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The words of the Lord make it clear that much is at stake at judgment, so this should be of paramount importance to each of us. Two passages of Scripture make the final connection as to the need to be known by God. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, speaking of what the Lord will do upon His return, Paul said He will be dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. In other words, we don't want to be one of the goats, because those who don't know God will suffer eternal punishment. Jesus' own words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount make the same point in unmistakable terms. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to Me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name, and in Your name cast out demons, and in Your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This is the bottom line. In order to be known by God, we must obey Him. Otherwise, He will not recognize us as His own. Friends, at judgment, it won't matter who we are. At judgment, it won't matter what we were in life. It won't matter what we know. At judgment, all that will matter is who we know and who knows us. If we have loved our Lord Jesus Christ in life by obeying His commandments, we will know Him and He will know us at judgment. Those whom the Lord knows are known by God, and they will be ushered into the heavenly city to the place that has been prepared for them. Do you know God as the Scriptures have described it? If not, don't you see that you must know Him and be known by Him in order to be saved? If you are not yet a Christian, lay aside all vanity and human pride. Surrender in obedience to the gospel of Christ by being baptized in order to have your sins washed away, and you will be known by God. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.